trophy for my Lord. Yes, I'm on the battlefield for my Lord. Well, I promised him that I'll serve him till I die, and I'm on the battlefield for my Lord. Well, I'm on the battlefield for my Lord. Yes, I'm on the battlefield for my Lord. Well, I promised him that I'll serve him till I die, and I'm on the battlefield for my Lord. For my Lord, yes, I'm on the battlefield for my Lord. I promised him that I'd serve him till I die, and I'm on the battlefield. Oh, aren't you glad you're on the battlefield? I'm on the battlefield for my Lord. Yes, I'm on the battlefield. Praise the Lord. Aren't you glad you're able to battle for the Lord today? Haven't you been just really glad to be in the house of the Lord this morning? We had a time here last night, didn't we? Haven't you appreciated and enjoyed the word of the Lord here last night? Oh, God is so good to us, church. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Let me just give you a testimony this morning. Brother Sam Clark said he didn't write it down. I'm trying to remember all that the doctors had told him was wrong with him. They first told him he had cancer. They told him he's going to have to go on kidney dialysis. And what else was wrong with you? A whole bunch, he said. The doctor says you just ain't much count. But he went for the test, and everything came back normal, no problem whatsoever. So praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, isn't God good to us, church? Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. And if I could just remember just a little bit about Sister Carol's testimony in regard to her sister Sharon. I believe maybe we read that Wednesday night, if I'm not mistaken. But she was going to a doctor. Just all kinds of situations going on. Her heart was all out of whack. This doctor that she was going to was a Muslim of the Muslim faith. And after examination, he told her, he said, I really don't know what's happened, but there ain't nothing wrong with your heart. Don't come back and see me for 6 more months. Oh, somebody say praise the Lord. God is so good. Hallelujah. Sister Linda Babb went for her esophagus. They done a cancer test on her. Her report came back no cancer whatsoever. Somebody say praise the Lord. Well, we're on the battlefield for my Lord. Yes, I'm on the battlefield for my Lord. Well, I promised him that I'll serve him till I die. Somebody say praise the Lord. Now before we read our prayer request this morning, why don't you take just a minute, turn around, shake somebody's hand, and tell them this. Welcome to this service this morning, soldier. Praise the Lord. Amen. Welcome to the service today, soldiers and soldierettes. God bless you. Amen. Brother Brandon, God bless you this morning, buddy. Appreciate you in the Lord. Amen. God bless you this morning. Good to see you, buddy. God bless you. Hey, buddy. God bless you. Good to see you. Okay, good. Good. Praise the Lord. Somebody say hallelujah. We're on the battlefield for my Lord. Well, I'm on the battlefield for my Lord. Well, I promised Him that I'll serve Him till I die. A sinner too. I heard a voice from heaven saying there is work to do. I took my master's hand and joined that Christian band. Now I'm on the battlefield for my Lord. Well, I'm on the battlefield for my Lord. Yes, I'm on the battlefield for my Lord. Of God upon me, the Bible in my hand, and distant lands I cry, my sinners come to God, and I'm on the battlefield for my Lord. Well, I'm on the battlefield for my Lord. I'm on the battlefield for my Lord. I promised Him that I'm gonna serve Him till I die, but I'm on the battlefield for my Lord. Hallelujah. Let's look at our prayer request this morning. Sister Janet Lehman offers this testimony. Says she just wants to thank the Lord for healing her body last night. She'd been very weak in body, unable just to function as she wanted to. She came up for prayer and the Lord Jesus give her complete healing in her body. Praise the Lord for that. Hallelujah. I want to remember Sister Shannon Lear and her family from Kentucky. Pray that her husband will give his heart to the Lord. Well, God's still in the saving business, isn't He? Please pray for Sister Angie Brown. Her walk with the Lord just wants reassurance that she has the baptism of the Holy Ghost upon her soul. Well, that's a good request, isn't it? Yes, it is. We just pray that the Lord would grant that to her. Brother Keith Phillips wants to thank everyone for praying for him. He's here in the service today. Brother Keith, God bless you. Also, my cousin who had a ruptured appendix did so well that she didn't even have to have surgery. He wants to praise the Lord for that. So somebody say, thank you, Jesus. Brother Zach Holmquist says, please pray for a friend I went to school with, Obadiah White. He is in the hospital in serious condition, has been unresponsive for several days, so we want to remember that prayer request. Also, Brother Mike Pierce be able to be in this service with us today. Been very sick, but the Lord has let him be able to be in this service with us today. Certainly want to continue to pray for Brother Perry Green out in Tucson, Arizona, the Tucson Tabernacle Church family, that God would just be with them and touch Brother Perry and let His perfect divine will be done. Also, Brother Jack Roberts, I don't know if he's out of the hospital yet or not, but he had knee replacement surgery, so we certainly want to pray for Brother Jack Roberts. Also, an unspoken prayer request my sister Ruth Garland would like for the church family to pray about. God knows all about that need. We're just committed unto the Lord. If you have an unspoken prayer request, something you'd like for this group to pray about today, Brother David, come this morning if you would. Lead us to the Lord. Let's invite His presence and ask Him to have His will in these prayer requests. God bless you, brother.
Lord, we are so thankful. There's as many praise reports as there's been prayer requests this morning. Lord, believing that the same God that raised Lazarus from the dead, Lord, we believe that same God is right here in the building this morning. Lord, you see the needs that's been returned, Lord, turned into the pulpit this morning. We ask, Lord, that you would move upon each one. Lord, that one needing the Holy Ghost, we believe you still give the Holy Ghost, Lord. You still save souls. You still heal bodies. You ain't changed, Father. We ask this morning, may you meet each one of these, Father. May you just touch them, Father, according to your will, according to your word. We just invite you now. Lord, may you just anoint our brother this morning. May you just come, Father. Use him to speak to us, I pray, Father. Help us now, Lord, that we receive what you'd have for us from this service. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you, Brother David. God bless you. Ushers, if you'll come at this time, we'll receive the morning tithe and offering you give us unto the Lord. If you're visiting today with us in the service, we want to take this opportunity to welcome you. Glad to have each and every one of you here. All of our brothers and sisters around the world that are streaming these services, pray these services will minister unto them as well. Just marvel at what we heard here last night about old Brother Simeon. What a blessed man he was to get to hold the salvation of Christ in his arms. Praise the Lord. I'm glad I'm one of them, aren't you? Are you glad you're one of them? We stand this morning in defense of the greatest truth that's in the world today. I defend it with all my heart. How about you? I'm one of them. Somebody give the Lord Jesus a big hand clap of praise. Hallelujah. There are people almost everywhere whose hearts are all aflame with the fire that fell at Pentecost, was raised and made him clean. It is burning now within my heart, a glory to his name. I'm so glad I can say I'm one of them. 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 I'm so glad I can say I'm one of them. Though these people may not learn it me for most of worldly fame, they have all received their Pentecost, baptized Jesus' name, and are telling now both far and wide. Power is yet the same. I'm so glad I can say I'm one of them. I'm one of them. I'm one of them. I'm so glad I can say I'm one of them. I'm one of them. I'm one of them. I'm so glad I can say I'm. Don't you? I believe God puts a desire there. He's big enough to fulfill it. If he put it there, I know he'll fulfill it. Praise the name of the Lord. Let's sing another song this morning. Let's just take the time to sing this song. We sing it a lot, but it's a good song. It brags about the greatest King of all kings, the Lord Jesus. How great thou art. If you could have your turn to walk through here and everybody give their testimony of how great things He's done in your life. How great things He's brought you from. What He's delivered you of. What kind of sin He brought you out of to place you in an assembly that you can raise hands that didn't used to be so holy. But you can raise holy hands unto the Lord for the work that He's done in your life. Give Him another big hand clap of praise. You love Him with all your heart. Then sings my soul. Hallelujah. Somebody say hallelujah. Then sings my the Lord. Well, you're just singing so good this morning. Your input is invaluable. I'm just telling you, your input to these services, it is precious. I believe the Lord's pleased when we all participate, don't you? Give him one more hand clap of praise as you're seated this morning. God bless you. Hallelujah. Amen. Brother Chuck is going to come. He has a song for us today. I always love to hear our brother sing. Just a If he couldn't sing a lick, his attitude's worth $800. We love him, don't we? Give Brother Chuck a nice hand as he gets ready to sing for you.
These services that we've been having on Wednesday night, when we've been hearing about the other side. And I think about Enoch. The Bible said just he walked with God and he was not. And I remember hearing Brother Branham say that he got closer to God's house than he was his house. So God just said, just come on up here where I'm at. And the more we hear about that other side, I feel like we're getting a little bit closer to his house than we are our house. I'm getting more lonelier for a place I've never been. One day we'll be there. And this weekend services, we're hearing how we're going to get there. It's by revelation. There is coming a day when no heartache shall come, no more clouds in the sky, no more tears to dim the eyes, all is peace forevermore. What a day, glorious day that will be. What a day that will be when my Jesus I shall see, and I look upon the one who saved me by his grace. When he takes me by the hand and leads me through the promised land. What a day, glorious day that will be. There'll be sorrow there, no more burdens to bear, no more sickness, no pain, no more parting over there, and forever.
shall see, and I look upon His face, the one who saved me by His grace. When He takes me by the hand and leads me through the promised land, what a day, glorious day that will be. Sing it with me. What a day that will be, when my Jesus I shall see, and I look upon His face, the one who saved.
If you would, to the book of Luke, chapter 2. Luke, chapter 2, verse 25. We'd like to read the scripture that we read last night. What a great thing it is to have the ability to receive from the Spirit of God.
Amen.
Amen. To be able to know Him in a real way. A wonderful, wonderful privilege it is. And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. And the same man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel. And the Holy Ghost was upon him. Now remember, God made you a Trinity. He Himself is revealed in a Trinity. And you are a Trinity in your being. All of your being has access to the Spirit of God. Your flesh, your spirit, and your soul. Depending on which one actually controls you, is what benefit that will be to you. Now watch this man, since the Holy Ghost had not been given by birth, he'd submitted everything that he could at this particular time to where the Spirit of God could move on him. And the Holy Ghost was upon him. And it was revealed unto him by the Holy Ghost. Let me share this meaning of this word for those of you that wasn't with us last night. And the word revealed is to be admonished of God, to give a divine command or admonition, to teach from heaven, to be divinely commanded, admonished, or instructed. So it was revealed to him, taught from him to him from heaven by the Holy Ghost, that he should not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And he came by the Spirit into the temple. And when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him after the custom of the law, he took him up in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace according to thy rhema. Now remember, there was no written logos that said this would happen. There's no promise of the Old Testament. No prophet prophesied it. No sage. Nobody said it. But the Holy Ghost revealed it to him. So he might have been disrespectful to the word, not being disrespectful to what the prophet said, but he had a personal rhema from God. If other people didn't believe it, that's perfectly fine with him. But it ain't going to stop him from believing. I don't think he was a rude sort of a fellow. I don't think God would make himself known to that type of an individual. But he was a type of a person that it was real to him. And if you didn't believe it, well, that's okay. But you just stand by and watch it happen to him, for it will happen to him. Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace according to thy rhema, for mine eyes have seen thy salvation. I wonder if it could happen to every individual in this building today, that you could say, mine eyes have seen my salvation, my deliverance, my name, my redemption. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we love you today. We're so grateful, Lord Jesus, for your precious word. Now we thank you, dear God, for the hour that we live, the time that we live. We're grateful, Lord Jesus, that you sent us your prophet messenger in this day to point us in the direction of divine truth. We thank you, Lord, that this message has come to us in a time of such darkness and things were so scrupled up. And we know that Brother Branham told us the seventh angel had no certain message, but what he did have was he was sent to gather all the loose ends. For Luther had some truth. Wesley had some truth. Sankey, Finney, Knox, Calvin, many of those men had truths. But yet, Lord, it was truths in portion. So you desired for us to be able to take a rapture by the full word. So the full word had to be born into manifestation, which could only happen after the opening of the seven seals. So we thank you that, Lord Jesus, you sent a prophet to be able to pull from Sankey, pull from Finney, pull from Knox, pull from Luther, pull from Wesley, pull from Pentecost, and gather those loose ends together and to be able to present them to a people that would be able to receive them. I trust we are that type of people today. Speak to us today once again, Father, we ask in Jesus' name. And the saints said,
amen.
God bless you. You may be seated. I'd like to speak to you again today on revealed Rhema. I think that's something that sometimes the message people, maybe we don't fully comprehend, that Brother Branham was not given a particular message like justification or sanctification or a focus on the restoration of gifts or a focus on even on divine healing, as much as that was a great theme of a part of his ministry, but yet that he was sent to gather the loose ends. Now, this would offend some message people, but yet as you study from the different men down through the ages, it would probably surprise you to find out how much that's in this message that actually came from Adam Clark, from Luther, from Wesley, from Clarence Larkin, from all kinds of different men. Most people in the message think that it came directly from God to Brother Branham and then directly to us, but that's not exactly the truth of it. Many things did come that way, but because he was sent to gather the loose ends. I've been in his study. I've picked up his books. I've looked at them. I've read some of them. I've seen where he underlines certain things from different men, and they go right to the message and find that very statement word for word. Identical. And yet it was said back in 1915, even before Brother Branham ever started preaching. Now, to those who understand the message, that don't bother them at all. But for those who, you know, have to shelter around Brother Branham and everything come directly, my, they have a real hard time with it because they think everything come directly from God to him. But that's not what he said he was promised to do. He's sent to gather those loose ends. Now, in that, the manifestation of God would be more real then in this day than it was in any other day because it is a time of rapture. It must take be a time of recognition to where that we can be identified with what the Lord has done. So he's gathering the body of the word, making it come together. In that then, whenever you see that the Holy Ghost chose this way to reveal himself, he could have chose the form of Logos. That's what he'd wanted. Logos only. It would be good to have done it that way. He could have chose preachers only if he'd wanted that. He could have chose the wind if he'd wanted to do that. But yet he chose an avenue by which Satan would never be able to impersonate it. Now there would be people that would be around it and they would be similar to it and they would look like it, but yet even they would not be able to impersonate it. People can impersonate Logos. They can be able to look a certain part. So we have a standard that we look a certain way and we talk a certain way and we say certain words and certain cliches. Those things can be repeated. They can actually be impersonated. But a person does not have the ability to impersonate being able to receive from God. You can't do that. Either you do or you don't. That's just the way that it is. So here Simeon was a perfect epitome of that and an exact example of what we've been talking about. Of a person being able to receive a rhema from God, a word from God that is so fitted to them that the Spirit of God makes it real to them. Now, in this case, it was not written in the Word, but yet many times rhemas will be written logos, but they're made so personal to that individual. As we looked at Mary last night, that no doubt she had heard that since she was a child, the virgin shall conceive and bring forth a child, and his name shall be called Emmanuel, Mighty God, so on and so on. But one day the Spirit of God made that a rhema. rhema to her. Then it was no longer a logos. So then she could read that same scripture that she had read since no doubt she was a child. But she could read her own name into that scripture and it would not be considered blasphemy. Now to many of the other people, if they would have heard her say that, they would have laughed at her, made fun of her, maybe ridiculed her, criticized her and whatever. But she had the authority from an angel of God to read her own name into that word. Oh, hasten the day that we can do the same by revelation. Now you realize Jesus said it would come to that place to where that it would be I'm in the Father, you and me, I and you and me. Now that we've quoted that for years and years in the form of logos. But I'll tell you, friend, before we leave this world, it's got to be a rhema word in the hearts of the real people of God. That we will be truly one. Then we are His crowning achievement of everything that He's done for all these years. Now the ability that God has given to us in that making us a Trinity was to divide us in the beginning. And of course, in the beginning, we wasn't made to have a human spirit, but made to have a theophany. But in the fall and time, God allowed us to be soul, spirit, and body. In that we would be made up soul and thus to where that we would be able to relate to other human beings. We would be able to relate to a supernatural realm and we would be able to relate to a physical realm. We would be suke, suma, and soma. So we would have the ability to where we would be able to be contacting of our earthly home. Then we would have the ability in suke to where we would be able to be contacted by a supernatural realm. And then we would be pneuma, which is spirit. In that realm, we would have to have an imagination, a conscience, a memory, a reason, an affection. And even though we have brain cells and brain matter, but yet we do not think per se with just our brain. Whenever a person loses their mind, it is more than something physically that has happened to their brain cells. It is actually something in their spirit. You remember the girl that it was actually twins and one of them was a real strong girl and another was a weaker girl and one of them had lost her mind going to school because of the pressure and going to school. And yet, you know, something about the other one, she was totally different. So the one girl, Brother Ben talks about, he went to the insane asylum to see the one girl and she had lost her mind. And he said her spirit was roaming. Her spirit was out there roaming. So it was nothing matter with her brain cells. It was not the brain matter. It was not something on the left side of the brain or the right side of the brain that had gone haywire, but it was something about the spirit because you actually think with your spirit. Now, this is the danger part, how that many people serve God in their spirit. They feed on the logos from their spirit, which is the psychological part. To many people, beloved saints of God, listen to me. Many people around this message are serving God from a psychological standpoint. They understand the word from the psychological standpoint. They read it from that standpoint. They be able to put doctrines together, read the Bible, read the message, and they can get all the doctrines laid out and they understand it from that standpoint of their spirit, but it's not made real to them in suke, which is their soul. Now God made us that way to where that we would have that ability. Thank God we have a spirit, because in our soul is not made up in the realm of imagination. Now what if we just had a body and we just had a soul and the spirit was taken out of us, then we would have no imagination and we would have no memory, because memory is not stored in the soul. We would have no conscience. So there'd be many things that we would not have just in our body and in our soul. So God made the reflection of what He wanted it to be, so you would be complete and being expressed in the form of a Trinity. See, taste, feel, smell, and hear, of course, in the outside man, imagination, conscience, memory, reason, and affection in the spirit. And then on the inside of that is choice or free moral agency. But in all of that makes you a complete being in that you are reflected in a Trinity. And you need all of that as a mortal in time to be able to be identified and reflected what God intended for you to be. In the change, you'll not have the spirit. That part will be gone. In the place of that will be the theophany. But as long as we are here, we still need these realms by which we're able to contact one another and contact the supernatural realm and contact God. But what happens is, as after a message has been established for many years, then people will tend to rely upon the psychological part or the human spirit. And they will substitute a new birth for the psychological part to where they're able to hear it, they're able to comprehend it, able to read it, able to study it. And then one generation passes and then another, and they're going more and more and more toward the psychological side. And they will replace the supernatural, the new birth, the phenomenal
internal working of the presence of God only to their intellect. And it will be more intellect the farther we go. And you might as well get ready for it. The farther we go in time, the more intellect will be projected in this message. Because it's always been that way. The foundation of every message from God comes from the psuche, from the soul, from the supernatural realm. Then God will accompany that with the Logos because it must be based upon the Word. But as it goes in time, that every generation will get a little farther away from that supernatural, because the natural man can produce from the psychological the Logos and his intellect, and he can produce that. But the natural man cannot produce the supernatural realm. So then the unconverted, they come in more and more and more and more. They cannot produce the supernatural. So what do? They rely strictly upon the psychological part. Now, I'm not talking about psychiatrists and psychologists and all that sort of thing. I'm talking about every one of us. Oh, you say, I don't understand nothing about that. You should. You use it every day of your life. You're made that way ever since you've been a little child. You learned how to manipulate your mama when you was about 2. Some of you learn how to manipulate your daddy when you're 3. You've been manipulating people ever since you've been a human on the earth. So we know how by the pneumo, or the pneumatic it's called, which is our spirit realm, and we reason with our spirit, imagination with our spirit. You may sit there and look at me and you may not be able to explain it, but you do know how to operate it, because every one of us do it. So in that spirit realm, is that not needful, Brother Donnie? It is, until we substitute the leadership, divine leadership of God, from the realm of psuche, which is the soul, into the realm of pneuma, which is spirit. Then we become pneumatic Christians instead of psuche Christians, which are ones that are led by the human spirit. So we reason, we take the word and we reason with it, and we try to figure it out, and we're a good believer until somebody will come and cross our pneuma, or our intellectual psychological conception. And then when we do, we are totally devastated. Then we no longer believe what we believe for 40 years of our lives. Praise the Lord. Now, Paul knew this, of course, whenever he was led of the Spirit of God. And Paul is the only one actually in the New Testament that actually addressed man as being a triune being, in that he identified that man had a spirit, a soul, and a body. Even the Lord Jesus never actually addressed it that way and put it all together in one passage of Scripture. Peter never did it, James or John or in the rest of them. But yet God gave Paul this insight. Now, this was not something that was new to the New Testament. The Gnostics and many different people had already had an insight to that, that believed that man was made up a triune being. But yet they did not know exactly what was the purpose of it all and how it would come into play in the new birth. Now, Paul, being a prophet of God, and God led him in the direction to be able to present it to the people. So he saw by himself that he, being born a mortal, that he was in the flesh body. So then he knew that there was a spirit body, and he also knew that there was a soul. Now, he had already been a pneuma type of follower, one that had read the word, that had studied the word. My, he was, set under the feet of Gamaliel, taught a great man, knew all the laws and all the wherefores and the whys and all those great things. But yet one day he met something that he could not read. He met something that he experienced, and that was a pillar of fire. Now, you can read about the pillar of fire. You can read about the cloud, but it's not quite the same as experiencing the pillar of fire. Now, many believers around this message have read about it. They have pictures in their home, pictures in their wallet, but many of them, have never met this in a personal way. I love the pictures of the pillar of fire. I love to talk about it, but let me tell you one reason why I love it so much. Because I have it living in me. Praise the Lord. If you got the Holy Ghost, you do too. Now, I do not have the fullness of that pillar of fire, but I do have a lid of that pillar of fire. So when I see the picture of that, what I'm looking at is a reflection of what is living inside of me. So when I see the picture, I'm only seeing a greater magnification of what I've got in a portion. You understand? But to many people, what do they see? A picture which is exterior of something than what they have. They actually don't have it. So then they come to what? The pneuma side of the message, which is the spirit. So they reason, they intellect, they study, they go with the psychological part, and that they can reproduce. They're able, it's no more really to many people than the Amish, the Mennonite, or many of those, it's a way of life. Many of the young girls, they dress a certain way because in their spirit, it makes sense to them to do this. To many of the men, it's a same way. Serpent seed makes sense. A lot of these things make sense, which is the spirit. It's pneuma. And the reasoning in there, well, it just makes sense. I heard this message. It was the only thing I ever heard in my life that made sense. Well, all that's well and good, but you better go farther than it just making sense. Because somebody will get around you and they'll go to talking to you and no longer make no sense unless it's from suke in your soul. And if it is, even if the flesh gets confused, the soul will straighten you out. That's right. But I want you to notice now, your poem, we'll pick up where we left off last night in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 9. As it is written, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither hath it entered into the heart of man, the things which God has prepared for them that love him. But now notice, these mysteries, these secrets of God. In verse 10 he says, but God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit, for the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. So the very heart of God is not necessarily revealed in the form of logos. Now, the word logos, as we've been looking at it for quite some time now, is the general concept of God. So it is that which is written that any person that has the ability to be able to read can be able to pick up this Bible and read, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life, for God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. They could turn over to John and said, there was a man sent from God, his name was John. He was not that light, but he was the bearer of that light. Now, they could read all the salvation scriptures and read about the new birth, and then they would get a general consensus or an idea that God sent a second person of the Godhead down to the earth, and people would feel sorry for him, and they would come, and they would receive him as their Savior. But really, it takes the Spirit of God to go deeper, deeper, deeper to pull out from the very heart of God that there was a people in his mind that were before the foundation of the world. Amen. And they're not accepting something that they're not a part of. They are accepting redemption, which means they were already a part of him. That's the reason they could be redeemed. Now, for those who study Logos only from the psychological standpoint, it'll never really be made clear to them. So here Paul says that God shows the avenue of the Spirit. He revealed them unto us by his Spirit. So the very heart of God is not just revealed in the form of Logos, whether that would be written down, or whether you're listening to Brother Branham on a tape, or whether you're streaming me or Brother Tim Pruitt or any other brethren. Now listen to this and keep this in mind, that when you turn on a tape of Brother Branham, you are not hearing Rhema. When you listen to a service from Happy Valley, you are not hearing Rhema. You are hearing Logos unless the Spirit of God quickens that to you, and then it becomes Rhema to you. Our digital recorders back there don't have the ability to record a Rhema. Rhema cannot be written down. Rhema cannot be recorded on a tape. Rhema cannot be printed in a publishing house, but Logos can. So Logos can be printed, and a preacher will preach, and some will sit there and nod their head. Yeah, that was good. They get up, they walk out. I enjoyed that service. That was really good. It really ministered to my pneuma, their spirit. It really ministered to me. I got some good things. I never heard that before. I'd never seen that before. But unless the Holy Ghost makes that real to them, it'll never become Rhema. Then somebody else will go on the website tomorrow and they'll click on today's service and they'll say, oh man, I'm going to listen to that. And they'll sit there and they'll hear it and hear it and hear it. And it'll be more Logos. It'll enlighten them more. But if they approach it right, Lord God, you see my needs. Father, you know what I've got need of. They can listen to it. Maybe somebody in Norway will be listening to it, and somebody down in South Africa listen to it at the same time, and one in Norway will hear it. It'll be Logos, 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 Logos. But the brother down in South Africa, he prayed, he approached it the right way, he'll get Rhema after Rhema after Rhema after Rhema after Rhema. It's not the preacher, it's not the prophet, it's the speaker, the Holy Ghost. And the Holy Ghost taking that word and making it so real to you that it is custom fit for you. Now we need Logos. We thank God for it. It helps us. It instructs us. It gives us divine instruction. We'll need it every day of our lives. But yet Rhema has the ability to so custom fit it as it was in the service here last night. Now before I even got home, I started getting emails and texts and things on my phone. My poor old phone about had a headache of people saying, oh, you don't know how this service meant to me. You don't know what I've been going through. I thought, no, I didn't know. Because actually I planned on last night reading those verses of scripture. I wasn't going to comment on Simeon. I wasn't going to talk about Simeon. I had no plans of saying anything about him, but using that for a text and going to the other. And all of a sudden, the Lord Jesus started going me in a different direction. It was a direction I didn't plan, a direction I really didn't even want to go. So some of you all must have got a hold to his heartstrings. Don't you love it when he does that? Oh my. Now, what's this? So Paul says God has revealed them to us by his Spirit. For the Spirit searcheth all things. Yea, the deep things of God. Now, he's not talking about just deep mysteries, but the deep things of God's being. Now, a lot of the stuff that we hear preach around this message called deep, God would call trash. All it does is tickle your ear. And it works on the pneuma instead of the suke anyway. Now, God by His Spirit then opens our understandings to the very intimate secrets of the depth of God's being. How much deeper could you get than the very being of God? Oh, you say the earth is stratosphere. I beg to differ with you. I would rather go to the Creator than the creation to find depths. Now, if I could go to the earth and look at the stratosphere, the hemisphere, all the layers of the sediment of the earth and the stone and all this and other, all that contains great and wonderful things. And it tells wonderful and great stories of the earth in its primeval condition and the antediluvian destruction, the destruction where we're heading to now. All of it holds mysteries, no doubt, in the layers of the earth. But which would be the deeper, the creation or the Creator? Notice this. He says, God hath revealed them unto us by His Spirit, for the Spirit searcheth all things. Oh my. Yea, the deep things of God. Only the Spirit can go. Now listen to me. The Logos, oh we love it, we so appreciate it. The Logos can only convey the mandate, the matter of God on a surface to those that are able to hear it, but the Spirit searcheth the deep things of God. Now the Spirit, since it goes to God's own soul, will never make that link from soul of God to flesh of man. From soul of God to spirit of man. But the link he wants to make is from soul of God to soul of man. Now God is a Trinity and you are a Trinity. So God's soul must unite with yours in order to create this channel to receive His Remus. Now, of course, if you don't have the Holy Ghost, then you'll sit there and you'll hear it and you'll hear it and you'll hear it. It'll go to simply to the pneuma or go to the soma, which is the flesh on the outside, and never have access into the realm of the soul. But the Holy Ghost goes into the very depths of God's being. And he goes, what do you think, friend, it was that was revealed to Brother Branham in this day? When John, oh, let's go farther back than that. Let's go to Genesis chapter 1. When Moses said, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And John said, in the beginning was the Word. What was it to take Brother Branham back? Even before the beginning. What was before the beginning? The eternal. That wasn't written in here. What was it that told Brother Branham that there was a secret in the back part of God's mind? Before time ever began, a rhema word from God. Who was it that told Jeremiah before you was ever formed in your mother's womb? That's why God don't believe in abortion. Come on now. That's what God told Jeremiah before you was ever formed in your mother's womb. I knew you. When you were formed in your mother's belly, I knew you. Call it a mother's choice if you want to. Amen. Don't get quiet on me. What was it that revealed that to Jeremiah? That had never been said down through time. He had no other Old Testament scripture even to hang with that one to prove it. It was a rhema from God. Notice this now, how Paul runs this parallel. I find this amazing. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 11. For what man knoweth the things of a man, save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so, the things of God knoweth no man, but the spirit of God. Now watch, here's this Trinity man. This Trinity of man can have within him thoughts, perceptions, desires, goals, things he wants to accomplish. There is absolutely no way on this earth for you and I to know what's in each one's heart. Unless you tell us. Now, I might do things. I might say things. You might do things, and you might say things, and I would stand back and look at you and say, Brother Ron, why did you do that? He done that because of such and such and so and so. Now see, that's where we get in trouble. Because we will judge one another, and we think we're judging the intent of their heart. We don't know the intent of their heart a bit more than a man in the moon. Now watch how Paul runs this parallel, that inside the human being, there's secrets within you that only you and God knows. Come on now, don't get quiet, man. Look at me, bug-eyed. So the spirit of man that is in man, so no other person sitting around you, your wife, your husband, your daughter, your son, really no one else can know what's buried into me. Even the devil, glory, even the devil does not know what's in you. And then Paul says, if man is this way, how much more is God? So I have in my beings today motives, objectives, desires, things I want to accomplish, things I want to achieve. You may try to read me. You may think you know me. I may think I know you. But you don't really know that you do. You can't prove that you do. Tell me what I just thought. Tell me the deepest desire of my soul. Stand at liberty. You have liberty right now. Stand and tell me. I'm going to think a thought right now. I want whoever can read it to stand and tell me what it is. Nobody? Neither can I do you. Now, but if you would come around and probe me, what did you just think? Tell me now, I want to know. Tell me what you just think. Now you see, God is revealed in the same way. So then God has these things within his being. So then if I would begin to write down certain things and say, well, I thought something about God, which I did. And what I thought was, these words were in what I thought. God loved thee. When you're thinking, okay, wait a minute now. I said, God's, don't you see? God wrote his word. Then he allowed people to pick it up and read it, and then they're trying to break in and break in. But the only way to really know him is to be able to tap into the depth of his being. So then when you read this, knowing him, you will come out with a different equation than a person that don't know him and read this. Woo, glory to God. The bride not only has his word, she has his mind. So the spirit of man, no man knows the spirit of man except that man really himself. So I could imagine something. I could run through the contemplation of something. I could think about something. You could sit here from now to the rapture. And even through the process of elimination, of guessing and guessing, more than likely you'd never guess it. I could send you down this path and that path and that path and that path, and you'd probably still never guess it. Some of y'all ain't gonna get nothing else out of the rest of the service. But what if? What if I whispered my thought to someone?
and I told them what I thought. And then they would go back and sit down and sit there with this little smirk on their face. Because now they know my secret. You are still wondering. You can't wait to get to them after church. You're wondering and you're trying, but how was it made known to them? Now maybe I wrote down words and I give you a word and you a word and you a word and I scrambled the words all together and you're sitting there trying to understand the word. God so loved the world and you've seen me, you've seen the Father and you know, here's the Father and here's the Son and here's the Holy Ghost. Well, is it one God or two God or three gods? You're trying to figure it all out, but then I whispered to you, I'm one God made manifest in a threefold manner. And you're sitting there saying, I see it. I see it. Praise the Lord. I see it. And they're sitting out with my words and they're trying to figure out, okay, Mount Sinai, there was a being there. Okay, now let's see. Jordan River, that was the body. And then the voice come out of heaven and that was the dove. So there's a Father and there's a Son and there's a Holy Ghost. And you're trying to sort through that and figure all that out. And the time you get 113, you still ain't got it all figured out. And you're such this guy that the secret was whispered to his heart. He's just enjoying it. Oh my. He's just so enjoying the word because the secret has been opened from my depths to his. For what man knoweth the things of a man save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so, the things of God knoweth no man but the Spirit of God. Now, did you notice Paul didn't say here that man didn't know the Word of God, but the things of God. You can know the Word and still not know the things. Now, watch this. As Paul laid this out in us as a reflection of a Trinity, watch Brother Branham pick up the same thing. God put a man in five senses to contact his earthly home. See, taste, feel, smell, and hear. Those are to contact his earthly home, but none of those are to contact God. None of those are to contact God. A man is a makeup and a triune being, soul, body, and spirit. A trinity in a man, just like God was a trinity in a man. So it's a soma, a pneuma, and a psuche, body, spirit, and soul. So the first, which is the flesh, is animal. Animal. The second is the spirit, the intellect, the reasoning, the all that sort of thing, the love, the conscience, the memory, and the reason. And the last is the psuche, which is the soul, the consciousness to be able to know right from wrong. Glory. Notice again in God's covenant with man. Notice man is a trinity, soul, body, and spirit. And now in his body he has five senses to contact his earthly home. But he has two senses of his spirit. One of them unbelief, which is of the devil. And the other one is faith, which is of God. Again he says, you're a trinity, soul, body, and spirit. You live in a trinity. Kitchen, living room, and bedroom. Now notice, so here you are in your body, in this temple here. You are a kitchen, a living room, and a bedroom. Glory. This is you. You are a kitchen, a living room, and a bedroom. A lot of folks in the message never go beyond the kitchen. Both naturally and spiritually. But if I am a three-room house and I'm married to my Lord, I don't want to just stay in my whole experience in the kitchen eating the Word. You understand why so many of the people, they just focus on, oh man, eat, the Word. Oh man, the Word. Oh man, that's so good. Boy, I eat. But they never go any farther than that. The whole life is going from one meeting to another, from one website to another. Wow, they're just wanting to eat. They got it on their phone, they got it on their iPad, they got it everywhere else. Why? Because that's where they are. They are eating Christians. Well, shouldn't we, Brother Donnie? Yeah, but my Lord, don't get so big you can't get through the door.
Some of y'all so big sitting there in the kitchen, you can't even get through the door in the living room. It's good to eat. It's good to be all this. My, many of us are connoisseurs of the word. We know the Greek, we know the Hebrew, the Aramaic. My, we're just connoisseurs when it comes to eating. But we never sat on the couch with Jesus. And every time Jesus will grab us by the hand and say, sweetheart, let's go in the living room and sit down. Let's go in there and sit down and just hold hands and let me put my arm around you. And let me just tell you, I'm oh, now Jesus, I'm hungry. But Jesus wants you to come into the living room. Put on some nice music. Gospel, of course, the only kind Jesus listens to. He don't listen to jazz, rock and roll, even some of his gospel so-called that is rock and roll. He wants you and him to sit down in the living room and him just tell you, you realize I loved you before the world began. You do know, don't you, that I had you in my mind before there was ever an atom, before there's ever a speck of stardust. I thought about you. I've longed for you and I to come to this place. And you sit there and you bat your eyes and wipe the tears out of them. Oh, Jesus, I didn't know you loved me so much. Oh, you're just beginning to understand barely how much I loved you. I loved you. I made this earth for you to give you a place out of which I could draw your body. And I knew you'd want to come back and live on this earth. So I actually took my own self, a body out of your home, so I would be able to fellowship with you. And I'm going to take you back down the night. There you sit on the living room couch and oh Jesus, my, my. And you're just talking and fellowshipping and having that good time. I realize most folks don't have that no more. Only thing they do on the couch is we're a button age and a stick age. Some of y'all need to get off your we and get back together with W-E, we. Lay aside your remotes. Lay down your iPhones. Lay down your droids. Lay down all your technology and all that sort of thing and get in touch with people. Come on, friends. People are getting drunk on the internet, drunk on their phones, drunk on technology. There won't be one iPhone in the streets of gold. There won't be one iPad. There won't be computers. There will be people. People. We need people. Why do you think you pass and see this billboard over here in Johnson City about laying down your phone and connecting with nature? Don't you understand what it's doing to this generation of young people? They say many of them can't even write a letter because all they understand is texting language. They can't even relate. A doctor told me not long ago, he said it is growing by rampant pace. It is becoming so fast that people are losing the ability to communicate to individuals by words. All they can do is type them. Oh, I thought, my, that's the same thing going on in the spiritual realm. The only thing people is knowing, text a quote, text a scripture. I want to hear a voice. I don't want just a logos. I want to hear a voice from my Father. Watch this in 1 Thessalonians 5. Verse 23, Paul says, and the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. And I pray God, your whole spirit, pneuma, the vital principle by which the body is animated, the rational spirit, the power by which human beings feels, thinks, decides. The word rendered here refers to the intellectual or the higher nature, the second higher nature of man. That which is the seat of reason, of conscience, of responsibility. That's a great realm, but it just can't lead you to God. Watch this and know us it not. Brother Bram said, you can't think with your body. You have to think with your spirit. Praise the Lord. You can't have conscience in your body. It has to have no mental faculties at all. Your body doesn't. So you have to think with your spirit. You have to reason. You can't reason with your physical being. Cause reason doesn't see, taste, feel, smell, or hear. Reason is what you can make in your mind. If you're asleep or your body's laying there dead, but your spirit can still reason. Now notice the spirit is right on the border edge of next to the realm of supernatural. All human beings have access in the realm of spirit. That's why there are certain people that lean toward witches and mediums and demons and certain things, because every person is a spiritual being. And some people, by whatever reason, have been able to contact such things since they were children. And were even able to see things in another realm that other people did not see. It does not mean they're born again. It doesn't mean that they're children of God. But somehow their pneuma is in more contact with that realm. That does not mean they're heaven bound, doesn't mean they're elect, but their spirit is more keen to the realm of that supernatural realm. In that realm, demons are, as well as the angels of God. And that realm is a wonderful realm, as long as it's channeled toward the finale, to where that your soul is the anchor and not your spirit. You do not want to make your spirit the tie post of your experience. Don't you see? Many people have received the Holy Ghost in their spirit. They shout, they jump, they believe the message. They accept the message. And they're basing it from where? Their pneuma, their spirit.
Oh my. Now watch this second place. Paul says, the very God of peace sanctify you holy. And I pray God your whole pneuma. And soul, psuche, breath of life, the vital force which emanates the body and shows itself in breathing of animals, of men, that which there is a living being. Now remember, because this is the same carryover from the Ish of the Old Testament, they also use this same word interchangeably with the breath of life and animals. But in the New Testament, it takes on a total new view. Look at the latter part of the meaning of it here. The soul as an essence which differs from the body and is not dissolved by death. We know animals do not have souls, but they have the breath of life. Remember in the book of Genesis that God breathed into Adam's nostrils the breath of life and he became a living soul. So he was an animal body with a living soul. Praise the Lord. Then, of course, there's another class of people on the earth who have more than psuche. They have a seed, which is not the breath of life, which is not something that animates their animal nature. It is actually an attribute from God. They will lay there dormant for many years of their life, and the psuche will reign over them until this is actually quickened. And then what will happen is that nature of the psuche must die. That nature of the soul must die, must be changed. Then it puts the seed germ into full effect in their lives. Now they will still have the pneuma and they will still have the soma, which is the body, but they will have a king on the throne of their soul, which is not now psuche, it is seed. Glory, it is not a vital force that makes them a living being. It is something that when they are no longer a mortal, is as eternal as God is himself. Notice that he says, the very God of peace sanctify you holy. Now pray God your whole spirit and soul and body. And the word body here, of course, is soma. The body both of men, of animals, the living body of animals. Now, I know some of y'all ain't going to like this, but I'm going to read it anyhow, since I generally don't preach what people like. I preach what the Lord tells me to. Now, notice this. Your flesh is just dust of the earth, like the animal. Your flesh is no more than an animal. But Brother Donnie, I got the Holy Ghost. But you're still living in an old dog. You're an animal. Your flesh didn't get the Holy Ghost. Let me come here and smack you on the face and see how much you got. Let me pinch your toes. Let me pinch your cheek. Or let me watch you and your wife going home. That'd probably be even better. Tell me how much soma, your flesh, how much Holy Ghost it's got then. Praise the Lord. It was never intended for soma to be the fullness or the full dwelling presence of God in this soma, because it is animal. The only way God could even come in behind the temple, the tabernacle in the wilderness, was when they were made out of badger skins, was that the live badger must sacrifice and give its life, and the life of the soma must be gone in order for God to get in behind it. But as long as life is still in your soma, He will never live so much in the fullness in this flesh.
But one day He will, when He creates a new soma. It won't be animal life now. It'll be created life.
Now watch, He says, yes, your flesh is no more than an animal. If you lust after the flesh and the thing you see, lust after women, lust after all these different things, it's still animal. That's right. You shouldn't do it. The Spirit of God will lead you on and put you on a higher plane than that.
You mean to tell me He's talking to people with the Spirit of God? Many of you have been to zoos. You've been to different places where they have animals. And you've seen signs up, don't feed the animals. That's always when I get in trouble. When I feed the animal. This animal of mine, he's lazy. He's sorry. He wants to defend himself. People say something against him, he wants to...
He'll bite them, he'll claw them, he'll scratch them, he'll kick them.
Don't sit there and look at me like a bunch of angels. You're just as bad as I am. Some of you's worse. Is that right? You want to get even with people, Brother Dale? You do? Lord have mercy. Him sitting on the pulpit. Lord.
What about the rest of y'all that live in animal flesh? Soma. Do you ever lose your temper?
You don't have to raise your hands, because a lot of these folks that stream these services think y'all are next to Jesus. They think you're just, oh, this is the godliest church ever world. Don't disappoint them.
Why? It's an animal. Can you Holy Ghost fill men lust? Why did Brother Branham hang a cross on his mirror for decoration? Brother Branham had one on his mirror because he needed one on his mirror. Because Brother Branham still lived in a soma body like you and I live in a soma body. And the more we feed this animal, the stronger it gets.
Well, glory. This is what I was wanting to preach last night, but apparently, Lord, the Lord wanted to save this for some of the Sunday morning folks.
Notice again, question and answers. A human is an animal. The man, the flesh part, is animal flesh.
Let's take a dog, a cat, a pig, a horse, a cow, all different kinds of animals. Take life from them, lay them all out on the dust of the earth. Let's take a man, a woman, a boy, a girl. Let's take an oak leaf, a maple, a pine. Let's take all kinds of bark. Let's take all kinds of matter that God placed upon the earth. Let's lay them all right there side by side by side by side. A cow, a horse, a dog, a cat, a human, a man, a woman, a boy, a girl, a leaf, a mushroom, whatever more. And let's give them enough time. What will happen to them all? They will all disappear and become part of mother again.
But if we could get a glorified body and lay it beside the horse, the dog, the cow, the cat, the mushroom, the oak leaf, the maple leaf, all of that, it would lay there for 100 billion years. It would never deteriorate. It would never rot. Why? Because it is flesh that is not born after soma. It is not born. Now it's what? It's the new Trinity of God. It's the new Trinity of God, the new creation. So it's what takes on the very image of God. Then God can live in your flesh and have full control. Controlled in your flesh.
Oh, how long for that day.
Notice we know that we are mammal,
which is a warm-blooded
animal. But yet when you're converted, it's amazing. Because you're a light in an animal body. You're a son of God, a daughter of God, still in soma. So you're a regenerated seed thought of God that's had a new birth and a new experience, and you're captured in an animal house. Similar to animals. As a matter of fact, some folks lose their temper. They're about as mad as any bull or dog or anything you ever seen. You ever seen humans get in fights? And they'll scratch and claw and bite. Do angels fight that way? Theophanies don't fight that way. But animals do. You ever see human beings kick and snarl and do all this sort of thing? Why? Because they are animal. You Holy Ghost filled saints, you know what I'm talking about. You can feel your old temper rage too. Come on now. But as sons and daughters of God, we're to bring the soma under control. Remember, Brother Ben talking about having such a temper, he said he ate many a meal out of a straw. Of course, after he got the Holy Ghost, he could use a fork. But you see, if a person only comes to God through the pneuma, and they will psychologically, I need to bring my temper under control. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 13, 14. And then they get down to 100. Bam! Why? Because the temper is stronger than the pneuma. In the spirit, I shouldn't do this. I shouldn't do that. I've been to temper classes. I've been to this road rage. I shouldn't do it. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 13, 14, 27, 8, 7, 9, 7. Bam! But if you got a king sitting in the throne of your heart. Now the temper may always be in the soma. But the king says, Lord, I don't allow that in my dominion. I'll tell you one thing about that. I don't allow that in my domain. Shut that up. But people from here say, he shouldn't have done me that way. It's not right. And they go to figure. And they go to, you know, that's the 13th time he's done me that. That's Jesus only said so many times. How many times should I turn my cheek, Lord? 70 times 7. But that was in another day. Listen, we need to divide that by the Democrats and divide it by the Republicans and divide it by the last day and time we get done. That'll equal about maybe one time. I'm ready. Where's he at? Glory to God. That's pneuma. It's a lot harder now than Jesus. If Jesus were here, he wouldn't said 70 times 7. Really? I figure Jesus said that all the way through the end time. But you see, those who live in the realm of pneuma, they're pneumatic Christians. Many of you that know things about tools, there are tools that are called pneumatic tools. It's from the same word. Breath. So it's life. Something that moves, moving parts. A hammer is not a pneumatic tool, a screwdriver, or an adjustable wrench. But it is something that has moving parts, which is motivated either by electricity or by an air compressor, by a pump. So it is pneumatic. So whenever we are human beings, we are pneumatic. We are alive. We have moving parts, and we are motivated by something within us that gives us the air pressure, if you will. And some folks sure blow their gauges a lot. But then you see what happens is, if you're born again of the Spirit of God from the suke, then from the soul, this regenerated part, it begins to send out messages, and it comes through the pneuma, and it comes up through the soma, and the soma still gets mad. But the soma loses its force. And the pneuma still wants to be pneumatic. But the suke unplugs the hose. Oh, glory to God. It's amazing how the Holy Ghost can deflate you and inflate you at the same time. That's good. Watch this. In 1 John 5:20, we know that the Son of God is come. I love this. Look at this word, come. To have come have arrived. Be present. Metaphorically, to come to one, to seek an intimacy with one. John is not talking about Jesus coming and dying on the cross, but he said, we know he is here. He is here wanting to take us out of the kitchen, into the living room, into the bedroom where life can flow forth. Notice John when he says, whoever denies the Father and the Son, whoever denies that he has come in the flesh is Antichrist. Do you understand what the spirit of Antichrist is? It's to deny the living Christ is living in your day. Not that he lived 2,000 years ago, not that he lived 25 years ago, but to deny that he has come in the flesh. But this is the secret part of his mission. Don't misunderstand me. This is not the secret. If it was, he'd never have it printed. If you had $100 billion in gold and silver and whatever more, would you put it up on your Facebook? You had it in a certain bank somewhere and you had a key of so-and-so, or you had a lock, you know, to a certain storage building, and you just put it up on your Facebook account? Or you'd make, you're going to put a public notice in the newspaper tomorrow. I've got so many $100,000 and you're to a certain storage building. Anybody wants it going down there? Lord have mercy. There'd be so many people down there that have to call in the militia. I'm just talking about church people. But what do most folks who have lots of things, they're very careful. Man comes in that does work for you and you don't really know him. You're going to take him through your whole house? Your brother's going to show him all your guns? You're going to show him all your personal affection, all your personal... Come on down here at the basement and say, I've got this passage down here. This is where I hide my real stuff. Well, if I was you, I'd wave goodbye to it because he'll probably have it by tomorrow. So you come in, he says, I want you to fix this sheetrock. I want you to do this and this. And you're watching him. And you're looking to see if there's any white tracks where he walked out of that room into the bedroom. Why? You've got sacred things. You've got secret things. You've got precious things. You want him to do a work for you, but you want him to stay in the confined area, the allotment by which you've issued the jurisdiction for him to remain. Don't you understand where the foolish virgin, where the church, where all these other categories come into? They are called and they are going to operate in a certain place of confinement. But to the elect of God, he gives you the keys to the whole house. Oh, glory to God. He don't want you just come up on the front porch. He don't want you just in the kitchen. He wants you in the kitchen, in the living room, in the bedroom, upstairs, downstairs, in the middle, outside, inside. The whole thing belongs to you. And only the Spirit can lead you through those passages. He said, what do you mean? You see, for us to take the word, just the Logos alone, there'll be so much of our life that will be so incomplete. What if I face a decision tomorrow and I can't find a scripture that defines it? Or a quote? What am I to do? Oh Lord, I don't know what to do. I can't find a quote. I can't find a scripture that tells me what to do in this certain situation. But son, you've got the key. You're a part of me. Ask me. I'll lead you. Ask me. I'll make it known to you. But you can't do that if you're just a Logos Christian. Because first of all, you wouldn't trust any voice, any leading whatsoever. Well, glory. Can I go on or y'all mad enough? So Paul says, God's Spirit alone searches the deep things of God. Now, how will we as adopted sons and daughters, how will we ever really find our place in the body? Well, I one day get on the computer and I'll type in and I'll find a certain thing and hand this one to you and this is your place and this is yours and yours and this is yours and this is yours. There are certainly generalities by which a husband, a housewife, a pastor, a deacon, a trustee. But friends, that's not our spiritual position, our intimate place. How will that be made known? Brother Ben said, generally your position is made known by the Holy Ghost. I don't want to walk where Brother Branham walked with God, because God has revealed to me that's not my place. I don't want Brother Tim's place. I don't want no other preacher's place. There's preachers that I hear and I admire the way they preach, and I wish I could preach like that guy and that guy and that guy. Lord, they don't tell me what I'd make if I could do it, because I'd pick this from this preacher and that from that preacher and that, and I'd put it all together and I'd have a mess for sure. But you know what? I realize I can't be that man. I can't walk where he walks, his perception of God, his understanding about this or that. And that's why I don't have jealousy toward other preachers. That's why when preachers come here and preach to you and you're so blessed and you're so happy, I don't get mad. I don't get jealous. And I hear Brother David does a wonderful job and you all are blessed. Why? Because I know who I am. I know who I am. I do not feel threatened by other preachers. I don't feel threatened by other Christians. I know who I am as a child of God. And it was not revealed to me by Logos, but Rhema. Look, friends, if you have an election this week and vote me out, it'll break my heart because I love you all. But you know what? I'm going on. I'm going on. God's got something else he wants me to do. Praise the Lord. I'll do something else. That's what he wants. You understand? But when we base who we are from the realm of pneuma, spirit, reason, imagination. God, help me. Help me to help him, Lord. Let's go on just a bit further. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 12. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. Notice now, not through the channel of Logos, not even through the channel of preaching or through the channel of listening to tapes, but through the Spirit. Praise the Lord. By the Spirit of God. Let me jump over a thing or two here. Verse 13, which things also we speak, not in the words, Logos is, which man's wisdom teacheth, but the Holy Ghost teacheth. Comparing spiritual things with spiritual. Now, will the Holy Ghost use the words of God? Of course he will. Of course he will. But he will not use the words of God mixed with man's wisdom. The Holy Ghost does not teach with man's intellect. Verse 14, but the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness. Now, you don't have to raise your hands, but just be quite frank and honest. How many of you have heard me read quotes or heard me preach things or read things in the Bible? You say, that don't even make no sense. In your mind, you say, that don't even make no sense. You say, oh, Lord have mercy, I shouldn't have thought that. Well, you might as well be honest. All the rest of us think the same thing. I hear Brother M. saying, I think, Lord have mercy, how could you even make any sense out of that? That's the pneuma. Or that's the soma, rather, the flesh on the outside. And he comes and says, well, how can that be? How can this? How can there be one? How can there be two? How can there be? I don't understand all that. Of course the flesh don't. And you know what? The devil will try to take them thoughts and say, aha, now look at you. You sat there and thought that in church when he was up there preaching. That proves I'm a human being, devil. Do you understand what maturity is? It's refusing to allow your soma and your pneuma to judge your psuche. For he that is spiritual is judged of no man. When are we ever going to grow up? Let's stand. Let's stand. Let's stand. Oh my. Paul says, but the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them.
because they are spiritually discerned. Every Holy Ghost-filled child of God has this kind of discernment. There's only one gift of discernment to a generation like Brother Branham had. But every Holy Ghost-filled child of God, as a matter of fact, it's one of the signs of your maturity. How you're able to discern. You see, real Holy Ghost-filled Christians are careful who they fellowship with. They're careful where they go. They're careful what they do. Even though they may have a scripture and or quote that will tell them that, but from the psuche, their soul, they have something within them that is constantly discerning. It's discerning and it's watching. And to a person who lives from the realm of spirit, pneuma, it will hide itself day in and day out for them. That's why they constantly find themselves messing up, getting involved with the wrong person, doing this, doing that, making terrible judgments in life. Because they're constantly relying on reasoning, their intellect, their culture, their ability to make money, all of that which is the spirit. And they lay aside the spiritual discernment from the soul, and then we wonder why we make so many mistakes. It's a shame because it's really dwelling in us if we're born again. So the soma is magnetized to the world. The pneuma has the ability, because it's unregenerate, it has the ability to reason and to deduct and look at it and make imaginations. Oh, that should work, and this times this, and oh yeah, that makes perfect sense. But from the psuche, the soul born of God, in there it's the ability to discern. The spirit can't discern. And the flesh is very easy to be deceived. Y'all ever been deceived by folks? By things? By spirits? By people? I put up all my legs, my toes, and everything. I've been deceived by preachers. I've been deceived by folks. Laity? Come on, be honest. You know when I did it? When I listened to my flesh and my spirit instead of my soul. If I'd listened to him, that little funny something, that little warning that he gave me, but I listened to other people. No, you're wrong. That's Pentecostal. Yeah. I've been there and done that. I'll tell you one thing. But you know what it is? God gives us that ability. Look, friends, when you're faced with a decision on the job, you don't know what to do. Depend on his leadership in your soul. Let me close. This is the sign of those who really have the mind of Christ. Is their ability to discern. Those who live in the realm of spirit, they'll get on this side of a story and they believe that. Then they get on that side of the story and they believe that. So they no longer believe this, or at least not all of it. And they go back and forth. Reminds me of politics, you know. People's all for this man until they hear this guy. And then they're, well, I don't know. I'm not sure which. Well, why don't you straddle the fence? Don't you understand where Satan wants us to be? In that realm of the pneuma. To where we're constantly led by spirit instead of the soul. Because the soul discerns. It's like every day of your life, people you come in contact with, where you go, he's constantly discerning, constantly assessing and reassessing your situation, who you're working with, what's going on around you, knowing Satan's got a trap set for you. When the human spirit will just reason out a day at a time, 2 weeks at a time, a month at a time, the soul is there constantly assessing, reassessing, watching, looking for every move that Satan's trying to set a trap for you, constantly there to discern this. Should I say that? Should I not say that? Should I go here? Should I skip that? Should I do? But as long as we live in the realm of spirit, we just... Whatever will be, the future's not ours to see. But the soul is, God help me. I ain't talking about making you a nut now. I'm talking about being led with the Spirit of God. Will anybody here today be honest besides me and say, if you'd have followed that insight, it'd have saved you a lot of trouble in life as a Christian? Yep. May God help us. Let's pray together. Lord Jesus, I pray I was able to make sense to him, Lord. All I can do is try to study and pray and to the best of my limited ability, put the Logos together to try to make a picture, a story, a drama, whatever out of it. And then I depend upon you to lead me, what to say, what to lead out, what to emphasize, whatever.
then Lord, I pray that you would help them to realize they need you too. It's not just enough to come and hear the word, as we say. We don't want to live just a kitchen life. Oh, how we love the word. But Lord, we want to live in the kitchen and the living room and the bedroom. Lord God, I pray you'd help us. May you forgive us of our shortcomings and our failures. I know as a preacher, as a Christian, most of my greatest mistakes have been when I overrode that suke. Oh, I didn't like commit adultery or flirt with somebody else's wife or nothing like that. But just a certain preacher in a foreign country, people raising money for him, and I felt a certain something in my heart not to do it. You know what I'm talking about, Lord. And this preacher in the message called me, and that preacher in the message called me, and I told him I didn't feel led. And they both basically told me the same thing. I was too Pentecostal. When am I ever going to grow up and get out of that feeling led stuff? So I went ahead and sent money. And 6 months from then, we found out that man was a polygamist. How horrible I felt. It was all my fault. It wasn't the preacher's fault. It was my fault. Because I overrode that from my soul. I'm so sorry, Lord. I pray you'd help each of us today. I believe there's many born-again people that are standing here, Lord. Help them, Father, to be led by this Spirit of God every day of their life. I need my spirit. I need my flesh, but not to guide me. I need my spirit for my imagination, my memory, all those things, but not to guide me. Not to base my experience on. Not to lead me to eternal life. Help each of us, Father. We desire to receive more and more of your Rhema. Forgive us for depending and relying so much on the psychological side. The psyche. Oh God, help us. We need you, Lord. Lead us every day of our lives, Father. Is that your desire? Would you raise your hand to him today? Say, Lord, be mindful of me. You mothers, you need him to help you to be the right kind of mother in your home. Be the right kind of housewife. You husbands, you fathers, you deacon brothers, every one of you, no matter what you do in your job, you young people, you cannot be the right kind of message young person without him leading you from your soul. You'll pick the pneumatic side. You'll psychologically develop what you believe God will accept and won't accept. And when you hear me preach and other preachers preach and they're preaching on things you're doing, you'll sort that through your intellect, through your reasoning. And you'll just gently lay that aside. You're not being mean. You're not being hateful. You're gently laying it aside because you don't feel like I'm right. You don't feel like Brother Branham is right. So you sort that through your pneuma and you'll take what you want out of that service. And you don't realize you're throwing your power away to overcome. May God help us. I don't know about you, friends. I've not been serving him too long. I've not been preaching too much to raise my hands to him today and say, Lord, I need you more than ever before. I've missed his will many times. And it's been my ignorance, Brother Terry, that's done it. My stupidity. I've overrode him. You see, if I miss him and I don't know no better, that's one thing. But whenever he deals with me and shows me something, and then I do it. Oh, how pitiful. And we've all been there. You know that. But aren't you glad his mercy is there to reach out to us? Even when we mess up. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Would you turn and lay your hand on the person standing by you? Those of you sitting in your home. Maybe those of you in Norway, South Africa, Zimbabwe, Kenya, wherever you are. Canada. Your brothers, would you reach over and just lay your hand on your wife or your children? John Witherson prayer. Heavenly Father, I want to bring these, your children, to you today. Lord, over in Norway, they may be streaming down in South Africa. Over in the Netherlands, back up in the wilderness of Canada, over in the West Coast, wherever they are. Maybe some, Lord, even our own assembly that's unable to come to church today and they're at home. Wherever they are in the United States, may the presence of God come there in the room where they are. Maybe they're sitting in a living room or maybe in a bedroom or in a car. They've got their smartphone. Wherever they are, may the presence of God come near them right now, Lord. You know the deepest desire of our hearts. I ask you today, Lord, to search us. You who searches the deep secrets of God. Search me, Lord God. May that great Holy Spirit, may you search me and see if you find anything in me, Lord God, that's displeasing to you. Search the deepest parts of Donnie Reagan. Many of these people don't know me as a man. They're not around me that much. But Lord God, you know me. You know them. You know every one of us. May you search our deep recesses of our soul. Our motives, our objectives, our desires, our intentions, our purpose. Everything that we are. Search us today, Lord God. If there's anything you find in me, Lord, that displeases you, make it known to me today. I promise you, God, before I leave this place, I'll make it right. If there's one human being on this earth that I've offended, Lord, Lord God, that I've done something to that I need to make right, make it known to me, Lord. I promise you, before this day ends, I'll try my best to get in touch with them and get a hold of them, Lord. If there's any sin, if there's anything in my charge, Lord God, that's outstanding, that needs to be made right on my part, make it known to me, Lord. I don't want to leave this place till I make it right before you, Lord Jesus. God, I don't want to serve you just by the flesh. I don't want to serve you by my spirit, because my spirit will reason. The spirit can take indifferent things about us and compare that to the world. Well, I'm better than them, but that's not what we're comparing to. We compare our lives to Jesus Christ, not some half-backslid church member somewhere. Help us, Lord God. Help us, Lord God. I want to give my body, as Paul here went on to say, I pray your whole spirit, soul, and body may be kept and preserved blameless to the day of Jesus Christ. What a miracle that the power of God from the soul could bring the spirit in subjection and make the body obey it. Amen. And keep it to that day. Oh, glory to God. If I'm alive, Lord, my soul is going to lead my body to a body change. I'm doing the greatest thing for my flesh that I could ever do. And that is bring its subject right now to the Word. It don't like it. It don't enjoy it. But I'm doing it the greatest favor I could ever do it. I'm not doing it a favor by letting it do what it wants, think what it wants, go where it wants. I'm doing my body a favor by making it obey the Word. Then after a while, that same life, because of that subjection, will take my body into the realm of the eternal. My gray hairs will change colors. My teeth, my eyes, all the flaws in this human body in a moment of time will be changed simply because my soul refused to give in. My soul will not be happy until my body is changed. Oh, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord God. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah. Let's worship Him today, children. Let's worship our Lord Jesus. Oh, hallelujah. How many wants to bring your body subject to the Word? Oh, it won't like it. It'll kick and squeal and fight, but that's all right. You're doing the greatest thing you could ever do for it. Because while other people's allowing their body to drink and do drugs and do illicit sex, and they're allowing their body to go in pleasure, after a while that soul will lead their body to hell. But you're making your body obey the Word, and after a while that soul will lead your body into eternal life. And the prophet said in Christ the mystery of God revealed, it will be eternal life in a human body. Glory to God. So your soul will lead your body one way or the other. I want my soul to lead my flesh to paradise. Oh, Lord Jesus, how we worship you today, Lord God. I bless your name, Lord. I bless your name. I magnify you, Lord. I want to give the trinity of my being to you today, Lord. Hallelujah. My soma, my pneuma,
my CG. May I present it all before you, Lord God. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto the Lord, which is only your reasonable service. Hallelujah. 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 Oh, great Adonai. Hallelujah. We bless your name, Lord Jesus. We worship you, O King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Jehovah Jireh, Jehovah Shalom, Jehovah Nissi, Jehovah Tidskenu. And the last attribute that will be revealed in the millennium, Jehovah Shammah, the Lord is here. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord God. Why don't you just take your hand or a handkerchief or your Bible or songbook or something and just give him a wave offering. Oh my. Think of it. These hands used to hold cigarettes. Some of you used to hold old pornographic magazines and all kinds of old filth and rotten nonsense. Now you're able to raise them hands up before the Lord and God would call them holy hands. Don't mean your hands have got the Holy Ghost, but it means the Holy Ghost is on the inside. It keeps them from doing things that's wrong. Oh, glory! That's it, friends. Just offer a wave offering to your King today. He deserves it. He's worthy of all of our praise. Don't you see? Don't you see why I want to keep you around sometimes? Don't you see why I don't want to dismiss you as soon as the word's done? Some of y'all want to go home as soon as I get done preaching to you. You know why? You're kitchen Christians. We don't want to close this service by just getting up and walking out of the kitchen and going home. We want to walk out of the kitchen and go into the living room. God! Don't you see what worship is? Don't you see why He wants us to worship Him after the word has been preached? Oh, if you've got to go, that's one thing. But let's not get in a routine of getting up from the table and going to the house. Let's move from the table. Move into the living room. Move into the bedroom with our King. Oh, glory to God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Let's sit on the sofa. Let Him put His arm around us. Let's put our arm around Him. Let us look into His eyes and tell Him how much we love Him. Glory to God. Glory to God. Lord Jesus. Lord Jesus. I love you, my Father. Help me, Lord, not just to be a kitchen preacher. Help me, Lord, to be a kitchen and a living room and a bedroom preacher. Lord God, help me that I can preach these fears and these realms to your people. That they'll not be rude and get up from the table and go out. They'll get up and move and they'll go into the living room. And of course, they'll sit on the love seat because they want to make love with you. Hallelujah. And they'll go in and sit down and look at you with their eyes and say, my Lord, my King, I worship you. I adore you. You're the lily of my valleys. You're the bright in the morning star. You're the fairest of 10,000s. Have I told you today, Jesus, how much I love you? Have I told you what you mean to me? Oh, hallelujah. Lord, may we be a church that is not only a kitchen church, but a living room church and a bedroom church. Oh, glory, where life can be brought forth. Glory to God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Lord Jesus. Oh, we don't want a remote religion, Father. We don't want an entertainment religion. Many folks don't even know how to converse and talk anymore. All they know is how to get around a television or a movie or some kind of video game. They can't even sit down and talk. But Lord, I want to sit down with you on the couch after you've fed me. I want you to talk to me. And not only that, I believe you want to hear back from me. Oh, Jesus. Thank you, Lord God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Praise your wonderful name, Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Come into my heart. Come into my heart.
Come into my heart, Lord Jesus. Come in today. Come in to stay. Come into my heart. Come to the living room with me, to the living room with me. Sit on the sofa with me, Lord Jesus. May I look into your eyes, may all my worldly thoughts die. The living room, Lord Jesus. Can we open that other door? Come in to the bedroom with me. Come in to the creation room with me. Come in to the soul room with me, Lord Jesus. Come in today. Come in to stay. Come into the intimate room, Lord Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Lord God. Hallelujah, Lord God. You want to know why many of you are so tossed about, so upset, so tore up? You're not going into the bedroom. You go into the bedroom to rest, friends. The kitchen table is not made comfortable for you to lay on. You might take a nap on the sofa. Most ones I sleep on, they're too short for me. They feel uncomfortable. You got something in your back, something here or there or there. That's why you've got a bed in the bedroom. So you go in there and you stretch out and you rest. Message folks will never have this deep rest and peace that's preached to us by the prophet of God living in the kitchen or the living room. You must come into the bedroom. There, turn down the covers of grace and mercy. And slide in between the sheets of redemption. Pull your pillow of grace up under your head. Turn over on your side or your back, whatever kind of sleeper you are. You don't count sheep, you count kisses from your husband. Hallelujah. There you lay. He sings his lullabies to you of grace and mercy. The whole world is turned upside down and going every way. And here you are. In the bedroom of Jesus. And you're asleep. Rock-a-bye, baby. In the bride's mount treetop. Where the wind blows. Don't worry, little bride. Your cradle will never flop. Tribulation is coming, but you have nothing to fear. Your Master and Messiah, He's standing right near. Shh, go to sleep, bride. Rest. That's it. Rest. And when you wake up, there'll be a millennium. Glory. Glory. Better boy, come sing.
I love you, my Lord, with all of my heart. You are my everything. You're the reason I see. I love you. I love you, my Lord. I love you, my Lord, with all of my heart. You are my everything. You're the reason I see. I love my Lord. I love you, my Lord, with all of my heart. You are my everything. You're the reason I sing. I love you. I love you, my Lord. Now sing it to Him, church. Oh, I love you, my Lord, with all of my heart. You are my everything. You're the reason I sing. I love you. I love
you. Sing it to
you,
children.
My Lord,
God bless you. Sing it to Him.
Oh, I love you, my Lord, with all of my heart. You are my everything. You're the reason I sing. I love you. I love you. Yes, I love you, my Lord, with all of my heart.
Thank you, Lord God.
You're my everything. You're the reason I sing. I love you. I love you, my Lord. God bless you, church. You're dismissed. I love you, my Lord, with all of my heart. You're my everything. You're the reason I sing.